And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, why do we believe it is important for God to receive honor and glory in everything that happens? Yes, we were created for His glory, and every breath we take comes from Him. But here's something to consider. Without His help, grace, mercy, love, and compassion, none of us would ever be saved. Our hearts are able to respond because He placed His Holy Spirit within us when we accepted Jesus Christ by faith. This whole thing that we do in faith is because of God. Next, as you know, I make Fridays more uplifting as we head into the weekend. Or at least I try to. Of course, there's enough challenges all around us to make our heads swirl, but that's no excuse for not teaching the Word of God. We're going to look at obedience. And we're not talking about obedience like a dog responds to us when we give it special treats, like when I give Bert Bert a treat. Bert Bert, when I give it to him, he responds pretty good. I just want to say that. We're talking about obedience that speaks to God of our adoration for Him. If we reject our willingness to obey, by the way, we pay a price. And finally, there's so many scriptures that are just so fantastic. It's true. Not the least of which is this portion in Ephesians that we're going to look at. The whole purpose of the Apostle Paul's encouragement is for us to know the love of Christ. It is not enough to hear about it, to think about it, and to feel it is cool. We need to know it inside and out. We need to rely on that love that God has for us. We need to understand the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And there is not a day that we can afford to live on this earth that we do not contemplate and acknowledge the love of Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. Oy vey! So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You know, that's kind of cool. What do you think? And in fact, we have somebody that's on the phone that has something that they want to at least say something about. So let's send them on through before we even finish. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Good afternoon, Sergio.
Hey, Sergio. How are you, my brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. That's I'm doing great because Jesus is great. I'm doing great. The Lord loves us. I'm doing great because of that.
That's awesome. Well, I hate to turn the conversation an opposite way, but not so much, right? So here's my inquiry or here's my question or my petition for you to expand on this subject.
Okay, fire away.
So you know how we've always read and you've always said that we don't fight against physical things. We fight against spiritual things, right? The dark stuff.
Correct. I mean, that's at the core of it. Correct. Yes.
And so like in today's day, like you're reading, like you're on your phone and you're walking and then someone grabs your hand because you're going to walk right into a bus. Then people say, oh my God, you know, that was God sent. That was an angel. I mean, that was kind of like, hey, that dude was at the right time at the right place. My question to you is, what happens to the thought process? Like, you start thinking crazy and ugly things in between your ears. Is that the same thing that of things that we fight against. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly. I do exactly. No, and so, oh my goodness, this is a great. See, you don't understand why you ask great questions, but you're just trying to figure out. You know, so the stuff that happens, basically between the left and right satellite on your head, which is your ears.
And before I hang up, so that way you can explain it. I just find that more often than not, for me, like just I'm in prayer and I'm in devotion, but then I start thinking just. I just go off, you know, like not.
Yep, yep.
I'm not, and I'm thinking, who's inside my head? So, have a great weekend, David. I love everything that you do. I pray for all of y'all, the radio audience, and have a great weekend.
Okay,
and
brother.
Listen on the radio.
All right, we love you, bro. Just to let you know.
All right. All likewise. Right. Bye.
Okay. All right. Let's just deal with this. So Sergio always asks brilliant questions. And the reason that they're brilliant, it's not like, oh, that's academically brilliant. That's not what's going on. Sergio is progressing in his Christian faith, right? Remember when you were younger in the Lord or when you were, touched by the Lord or whatever, and some people identify that as a separate baptism. I understand we're not talking about that part of it. We're talking about this part of it. You're just more hungry and you want more and you want to know more and you want to understand more. And all of a sudden, everything's just like you start getting it. So he's asking a really genuine question. Hey, when we go through stuff, and we know the Lord interferes and so on, intercedes and so on and so forth, but there are times when you'll be praying, and I know every single person that I have ever talked to, ever, that sometimes when you're praying, it's an amazing how much distraction and how much warfare can take place at that very same moment that you're praying. And it's not just simplistically you're just fleshly. I mean, sometimes it's like I'll just ask you this question. It's like out of left field. Have you ever had that experience where you're praying and you're just praying and you're talking to the Lord about, oh, you know, Lord, I, you know, want to have more faith for this. You know, the bills are coming up and I'm trying to do this and all this. And then out of left field, it's like somebody lands a balloon right by your head. And then the question is, what's for lunch? It's just like out of nowhere.
So it's not just me, Dave.
No, it's not just you. It's not just Sergio. It's not just – and so you're thinking, well, how is that? And so some people, their theology doesn't permit this, although I quite don't quite understand that, but that part's okay. I'm just going to go into the text. And this is something that we're heading into, by the way, next week and the week after. So it's a perfect kind of pre-runner into it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, so just listen to what I'm going to say. It's really important. It says this in verse 3. We are human, but we don't wage war with human plans and methods. We use God's mighty weapons, not merely worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. And with these weapons, we conquer their rebellious ideas and we teach them to obey Christ. There is this war that takes place in your mind. And it is the same war that took place in the garden. The challenge from Satan to Eve was to challenge the truth. And what was the truth? And by the way, there was no sin access that Eve had, in the sense that Satan can still throw temptations at everybody. He threw temptations at Jesus. There was no sin point there. It's when you accept that temptation and take it to the next level and so on and so forth. So what you need to understand is that the devil can throw thoughts or suggestions or temptations at you, of course. And people are like, well, he can't throw a temptation into my mind. Where is he going to put it? In the back of your hand? Where do you think that temptation is going to go? Well, Dave, it comes through my eyes or my ears. And where does it go from your eyes and your ears? It goes somewhere to your heart and your head. It goes inside those openings, and that's where he tempts you and challenges you. And what happens is it's a warfare in the mind. And you're thinking, well, what are you trying to say? Well, in some of the better translations, which I think, I don't know if you have the ESV there or not or whatever, but in verse 5, I think it says, we bring every captive thought into obedience in 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 5.
Yeah, I got
it. What does it say?
Verse 5 says, we demolish arguments in every pretension. That set itself up against the knowledge of God.
And keep going.
And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
What? We take captive every what?
Thought.
Every what?
Thought.
Every thought we take captive. So you should know that we have to fight in the mind about these thoughts that are just like out of this world. Now, the very next chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul says this. He says, I fear somehow you will be led away from the pure and simple devotion to Christ, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent. Now look at the. I just used that example, right? And I didn't even mean to do that. Catch it, but just listen.
What scripture was that, Dave?
That's 2 Corinthians 11:3. And so there in 11:3, I fear you're going to be led astray from your pure and simple devotion to Christ, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent. The devil's fighting for your mind. He's looking for an opening. He throws things in there. Of course he does. So what does the scripture tell us to do? James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee. You got to resist. We've talked about this before. You're praying, you're just getting into it with the Lord, and then bizarro land comes. I mean, and you guys know, it's just like your dream sometimes. It's like the most bizarre, weird, bizarro. It's not even, it doesn't even have to be a sinful thought as much as it is a distracting thought. Because remember, it's a war. So he's trying to keep you away. And so then you say, and if you respond to that, you've just been pulled away. Or you can just go, no, I want my thoughts to stay centered. You think, well, that's just mind control. No, you're asking God to help you. You're submitting yourself to God. You're resisting Satan, not letting his influence and distractions pull you away. It's like, well, can you do that all the time? Well, I have a hard time doing it all the time, but I have a much easier time doing it in prayer. But I'll tell you one thing, it's an ongoing battle. It doesn't stop. It's not like Satan's like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? If you fight, you fight. And this is one of the reasons why, now this is going to, you're going to just think I'm crazy, but one of the things that happens when you read your Bible is you saturate your brain and your mind in the truth, right? Your heart and your mind. So let's kind of use them in a combo point of view, because I'm not trying to separate them really. But you saturate yourself in the Word of God and you let that come in. And then you know what happens when you pray? You work that saturation into your being. Listen to what I'm saying to you. This is great. I mean, even I'm thinking this is great, and I'm not even cheering it. So listen, you read, and the truth comes inside of you, and then you pray, and some communion connection between you and God helps that truth stick. And now you have truth to resist the enemy. Because how did Jesus fight against Satan in the temptations? He quoted scripture. He quoted the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, he only needed one book, but that's besides the point. What I'm trying to say is that warfare that Sergio is talking about, that is real. We all go through it. People never didn't want to talk about it. It's like, why? Well, because it means that demons are, that's right, demons are, Satan is, yes, that's all real. And to not believe that, well, then if that's true, then why do we have Ephesians chapter 6, which says, take on the armor of God on a daily basis? Why would you put the armor on? What's the point? Well, if that stuff doesn't exist anymore, well, then you wouldn't use about 80% of the New Testament. That's absurd. You believe Jesus saves? Well, what's he saving you from? Sin? From Satan? I mean, Hebrews tells us that Jesus specifically sets us free from the grip of the enemy. That doesn't mean that when the enemy leaves, he goes, well, I'll never go back there again. It's like he comes back around and throws rocks. Or in our case, he throws flaming arrows, right? Because those tend to stick a little and burn a little more than a rock does. Which is why you have the shield of faith, which if you really got the shield of faith, you'd understand it's really a water shield, because you hold up that faith and then that arrow comes and it quenches the arrow. And then when you go on the attack, what do you use? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay. We go through this every day.
Dave, in essence, it's spiritual warfare, wouldn't you say, Dave?
It is exactly spiritual. Not even, it is exactly what spiritual warfare is. Spiritual warfare, like Rob and Cindy called and asked us to help, right? Because they were going through spiritual warfare. What do you think that warfare comprised? Do you think that it all had to do with Rob had a sore elbow or something? No, they were under spiritual attack because people were
had thought bad things that weren't true. I don't know where those thoughts came from. Hello. And then you got to – well, that happens on the outside, just like this. It happened with Jesus, so to speak, is of people accusing him of false things and so on and so forth. And then that happens on us on the warfare on the inside. There's warfare on the in. There's warfare on the out. There's spiritual warfare at every level. And if you don't know about any of the spiritual warfare, it doesn't mean you're ignorant. It means you just haven't caught on. You haven't caught that the enemy is continual. It's like, you got to be alert. And by the way, you can be in the world and for 5 minutes and you already know, well, the enemy is continual in this place. So that question is a brilliant question. Like, do we go through it? Yes, Sergio, you go through it. What's the answer? Hey, I know you're going to hate this, brother, but I love to tell you the truth. Saturate yourself in the Word of God, and when you pray, it just becomes a part of you, and you become closer to the Lord. And the bottom line is you submit yourself, therefore, to God, which means to surrender, and you submit to God, and you resist the devil, and to resist means to keep from giving in, which means he's going to keep pestering. But you keep fighting. And you'll find out that you have a lot more strength than you think, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And it's like, wait. On all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You want to know how you win? Through Jesus. You think, well, I'm losing that war, Dave. I'm fighting, but I'm losing. You know, the great thing about the kingdom of God is you can go right back to your dad and say, I'm losing this. Help me win. Because it doesn't bother the Lord to save with many or save with few. He'll show his miraculous power to those who believe. Oh, come on! Yeah, that's off script, but boy, that's a good script.
It's on the perfect script.
That's like exactly what the script God wanted. We'll take our break. And then we'll come back and reset some things, I guess. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. So he gives the conclusion to the matter. He says in Ecclesiastes 2, I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. Only in God is there satisfaction. He says, this too I see is from the hand of God. Happiness is from the hand of God. Verse 13 in Ecclesiastes 3, that each of them may eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God. Happiness is a gift. Satisfaction is a gift. The graces for appreciating life at its fullness is a gift from God. And apart from God, it cannot be attained. Yowza! We're really going to the mat here, huh? So then you might say, okay, David, then what's the conclusion? What do you do then to get that whole process going? Only God can grant lasting happiness, period. What do we got to do? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Now all has been heard, and here is the conclusion of the matter. Don't you love that? I mean, the answer's right here in the same book. And here is the answer. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. If you want God to grant you the gift of happiness, you fear him and obey his commandments. People are like, oh, no, there's got to be something else. Isn't there medication involved? Isn't there grandchildren involved? Isn't there this involved? Isn't there relationships involved? Isn't there, money involved and power and cars and houses and big TVs? No. Wasn't there food and wine? And what about all the medications? No. Well, what about becoming smart and brilliant and knowing and having degrees? No. You tell me partying doesn't do anything? Correct. You mean building a monument to myself does nothing? Correct. Happiness comes as a gift from God only. And so the conclusion of the matter is simple. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the duty of mankind. This is the requirement. Now, to fear God is to be in reverence of God. Honor, respect, awe, and appreciation. Every day, are you in honor, respect, awe, and appreciation of God? Yes or no? And do we obey what he tells us to do? You want to be a successful Christian? Do what God says. I'll be a successful Christian. That means X amount of money in the bank. No, it doesn't. Jesus didn't die and resurrect a billionaire. I mean, that's just dumb.
The David Spoon Experience.
You're here when I need you the most. When I need you the most.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas, where our show has taken on quite the unique personality in the last week.
We don't even know, Dave.
And you guys think it's like, I have all this stuff laid out. It's like, no, we'll just do that. And that, I just love that. I mean, even I was getting something out of that. You know, I know you guys don't think it. Nah, that's not true. When I talk about things and share things and tease, I get stuff. It helps me. I need it too. Don't kid yourself. All right, let's do our trivia question. Okay, you guys should get this. There's none of these are really that difficult per se. Oh, one of these might be. What was the city known as where they tried to build a huge tower to the sky? What was that location where they tried to build a big tower to the sky? Because you know what? They didn't want to lose themselves. That was a part of that whole thing. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So we do have somebody that's calling in. We're going to give them a chance. After that, we're going to do our DNA and just kind of see where it all goes. So let's have the caller go on through. Come on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Brother Roger again.
Hello, brother. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Doing okay? You feeling okay? A little better?
I'm doing great.
Okay. Now, that's good.
God's been good.
Amen. God is always good.
Yes. I'm still learning. I'm still growing.
Amen.
Even though I've been in it for 40 years, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. This will make my 40th year being a Christian.
Amen.
And I need him more now than I did when I first met him.
Yeah. So. That's a great statement. That just means you're getting closer and closer to the Lord because it means that you're seeing more and more, and you're like going, uh-oh. That's
I'm,
so good.
I'm one day closer.
Yeah,
exactly. Every day I'm one day closer.
Love it, brother. All right, let's do the trivia question. What was the place known where the people tried to build a huge tower to the sky?
It was Babel.
That is correct, Amundo! The land of Shinar, they thought, oh, yeah, we're going to build this. We're going to make a name for ourselves. And the Lord was like going, want to bet?
Right. But I do have a word.
A word.
it's not long, but rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice.
Amen. 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 Right? Good job. That's a good word. Everybody should remember that. Instead of a lot of oh me's, there should be a lot of amens.
Amen again and again.
That's right. Excellent job. Excellent job, brother.
And he brings back the word of God back to my remembrance again and again.
And again. Amen. And again.
Remember, you gave me that name.
Yep.
So
yep. You get to use
it. I'm going to keep my name. When I get up into heaven, I'm going to listen for, hey, it's Roger again.
Oh, that is so funny. Excellent, excellent job, bro.
And that's what I do when I start praying now. I say, hey, it's Roger again.
Brother, I love it. I love it. And what's great is when you meet the Apostle Peter, he's going to go, Roger again. What's happening?
I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm still learning. I'm still waiting. I'm still hoping. I'm still praying. I'm still understanding that God's word is what is faithful and true.
Yeah.
It's God's word. And if we understand what God's word is, and if we don't understand what God's word is, try it again.
Amen, brother. Again and again. Another good word from Roger again. Good job, brother.
I just had to get some joy in the room. And, you know, we joyful noise. I create a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then if you want to know more about the again part, it's in Philippians 4. And just read Philippians 4, the whole chapter. You'll find out about rejoicing. You'll find out about meditation. You'll find about whatever's true and pure and holy. And it's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
That's right.
And you know, I'm going to let you go at that.
That's a great name. That's a great word. And with Sergio's question, one of the things that came up is it is even says in that passage, think on these things. That's exactly right. Excellent job, brother. Very, very good.
He's off, Dave.
All right. Great, great, great work. Okay. DNA. Hey, I don't know.
Do we
know? When I come back, I'm teaching something. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Why? Because you know what's amazing about this? I'll say this real quickly. Because you know what's amazing? It could be that one day that you do it, that there's that one moment, that the one breakthrough that you've been looking for comes, and it can all be based on you just spending time.
It's a lot there, Dave, what you just said.
It could be right there. That's the Lord's just waiting for that moment for you to step forward with him. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what he had to say. I mean, just look at the world and just go, oh, well. I mean, you pray for him, you hope for him, but you don't get in the mire with him. There's no point in doing that. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
Oh, other people matter. Sometimes you have something that you go into prayer for, and it's for your sake, and it should be for your sake. Sometimes you go into prayer for somebody else's sake, and it should be for their sake. As long as we're covering it properly and being thoughtful of others, careful for others, including others. That's what the Lord wants to see from us, okay? Just that simple. Now, before we go to break, I'm going to do this one little teach. I just want to bring this up. I want to make sure you understand this. This is coming out of Ezekiel. We haven't done a ton out of Ezekiel, so I don't want you to freak out on me. But remember, we've got a portion in Jeremiah, a portion in Isaiah, and a portion in Ezekiel that all say essentially the same thing. So anytime you have something going on in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, and in Ezekiel, that to me is a ding, ding, ding moment. Like in the gospel, there's only one creative miracle outside of the resurrection, you know, outside of that process. There's only one creative miracle in all four gospels, and that's what? The feeding of the 5,000. I think that's fascinating because there's a reason. And so now I'm going to talk about something that's in all three of the four major prophets, and it's the same kind of realm, but we're going to pull it out of Ezekiel's side of it, Ezekiel 36:26, and it says this. It says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. Then you will live in the land that I gave your fathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Multiple times in the Old Testament, we have been directed towards a time is coming for a new covenant. Because the first covenant failed, God had to run the new covenant from both ends, because every time we run one side of a covenant, it doesn't work out so good. So we needed help. Okay? So here's what I want you to understand about the Lord. And this is where the humbleness has to come in. Okay? We're going to take a caller in just a second. But here's where the humbleness has to come in. God is the one that gives us a responsive heart. Did you get that? God gives us the responsive heart. So every time you want to, I'm doing really well, you are if God is letting you. I mean, I'm just saying that. And I'm not trying to be, it's just that the Lord. And so, and I've told you this, this happened when I visited John when we were in Houston. And I was doing my devotions coming up on that. So now it's been like over 25 years. But I was just like, I came for the Lord. And it's like, there, Lord, you know, after I did my devotions. I even said this. And I said, there, I made sure I did my devotions, right, kind of thing, right? And the Lord just whispered to me, I just knew it was the Lord. It's like, I helped you do those. It's like, oh, see, I'm trying to take credit, right? Like, I did it. It's like, I could never have done it if God didn't give me a responsive heart to the things that he pours into me.
You see, Dave, I did that with faith. I'm like, God, I got so much faith. And then I read faith is a gift from God. I said, okay, back to that down here.
You're right. You're just like, you just want to go, okay. I just want to thank you. I'm just going to use that, you know, praise of sacrifice of praise and just keep using that. Because that seems like the most appropriate thing. Hey, your responsive heart is a gift. Okay, somebody is on the telly, so let's send them through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is Brother Stan.
Hey, Brother Stan, how are you?
I can't complain at all. Not one ounce. I just wanted to call in, and I would like to make a quick comment to the topic earlier about heaven.
Okay.
For us just trusting the Lord and believing in him and the faith in him, heaven is going to be so awesome. It's just going to blow our mind. But I believe he done it that way because we trusted in him and believe that who he is, who he say he is.
So exactly.
That was my comment on heaven. It's going to blow our mind just for a term.
I think you're 100% correct. And I think it's really important to understand something about that, brother. Listen, I don't think we can grasp it now in these mortal bodies. I think and I've said this before.
Yes, sir.
I think we'd explode. I just think it'd be like, yes. We've got to have the immortal Yeah, I mean, if it can't even enter into our minds the level and the depth, right? It's like, okay, what we're going into is so past phenomenal, there's nothing. There's nothing you can say. It's just like, okay, let's go. That's all you can say. Let's go. And I just think it's so great. 7 days God used to create the earth and the universe. 2,000 years he's been preparing heaven for us. That's what I love.
Amen.
Amen,
and
brother.
I ask you all to agree with me in prayer on a certain issue, and I wanted to just personally ask you all to do that for me.
Okay, what
I
you got?
I listen every day. I may not call, but I listen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
What do you got? You want us just to agree with you? You want to pray about it? Or you want us to? You want me to do a general prayer? Or you want us all just to be in agreement with you?
And agree with me.
Okay.
And I know my Lord is able.
Amen.
The devil try to put doubt and thoughts in your mind. I'm. You know, I know that. But it's strength in numbers. Strength in numbers.
Yes.
If God wouldn't say it, two or more.
That's exactly
and so
right.
So I'm fighting this doubt and unbelief. That's all.
You know, I just want to say that, and there's something really important in that, and that you recognize that your faith in this situation can bring about a change of what it is in the circumstance. And I just want to say this, and this is really important for you to hear. That it only takes a moment for a miracle, and that faith that you offer is not something that God will ever ignore.
Amen.
And so we join our faith. We just ask the Lord to bless you for his perfect will to be done, for comfort, grace, healing, kindness, and for just a strengthening of your position in him. He has not forgotten, he will not forget, and he will never forsake you.
Amen.
Amen.
We love y'all.
Amen, brother.
And appreciate it.
We love you, bro.
Love you back.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Be blessed.
Yes,
bye-bye. Bye. Okay.
That's what it's about, Dave. I mean, that's what the show is about in a nutshell.
To get to, okay. We're going to take a break because I need to. You guys don't need to. I need to. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
In my entire life, of course, I mean, you know, my career used to be the, you know, the only thing I cared about, you know, in a sense, and now my family is my priority. So I still love my career and I love what I do for a living, but it keeps me grounded because, you know, the primary thing for me now is making sure that, you know, I've got a active and healthy family life.
You know, it's really, it's our privilege. We want you to know how much we appreciate it. I think your talent is undersold in the context that it's not promoted enough. I think some of your stuff is just anything that makes me laugh, especially the way the world is now, anything that makes me laugh, I love. I think it's gold. So I think you've done a lot of gold.
If Jesus was like me.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Okay, got a couple things we got to do, so let's take care of this. We have trivia. I got a good trivia question. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how people are going to do. I don't want it to be hard, but you gotta get this one. Okay, this is a good one. Okay,
let's hear it, Dave.
All right, this is a toughie, but I'll tell you now, the answer is in Leviticus. The sacrifice for sin. It is also called the peace offering, the meal offering or the atonement offering? The sacrifice for sin. It is also called the peace offering, the meal offering, or the atonement offering. Okay? I know, but you got to know. I mean, you got to have the answer. Now, listen, I could have done so many jokey things there, but I didn't. Okay? 972-445-0770. That would be the number to call if you know that answer. 214-210-8483. That would be the text. And then David at hemustincrease.org, that would be the email to use. It's pretty straightforward. You guys should know this, but, you know, if you're not sure, Leviticus 9:7, sacrifice for sin is also called the peace offering, the meal offering, or the atoning offering, or the atonement offering. That is the question. In the meantime, we are going to send you up to the website because... this is just really important to understand this. We'll keep that as simple as we can. Money is helpful for us to keep doing ministry. How's that? Pretty straightforward. Here is the passage that we use, Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously to the needy. Do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hands. And so we would love it. If you can't give to this ministry, we totally get it. But we do have this minor expectation that you'll at least pray for us. That is something that is worthwhile. Check it out, by the way, all the stuff on the website on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
All righty. Seven bells, by the way. I'm just telling everybody. Seven. That's the. That's how many. How many bells? Seven. Al wants to know why we're doing multiple choice trivia questions. Because I got a new book.
And I actually like that, Dave.
Well,
when they're not so goofy, that's the
well,
way I look at it.
Well, see, but the problem is I'm the one that makes them goofy.
Ah.
You see, they give them some answers, and you look at them, and you go, that's just, like, dumb. And then that's when I'll put in, you know, that's why I put in that one Mount Fuji.
Oh, blame it on you.
Yeah, well. Wait, ready? Get in line. Anyway, I'll just say that.
That's a good one.
All right. The sacrifice for sin is called the peace offering, the meal offering, or the atonement offering, if you think you know. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I'm getting ready to do this teaching, which is we're not going to break between now and the end because this is kind of a double teaching, but I'm going to use other people's insights as well because while I have unique insights from time to time, there are 1,000 people that have better insights than I will ever have. And I just acknowledge it, and there should be an acknowledgement to that. So we're going to get to that in a split second, but I wouldn't mind doing just this one little bit of history, if you all don't mind, since it's been 3 days since I've done history. So let's do history, and then we'll go into the teaching.
Let's go live in the past.
All right. This is one of the reasons why there's two big things on here I gotta talk about. Number one, in 1968 on this day, Clown College was established, the first United States school committed exclusively to training circus clowns. It was established in Venice, Florida, by Irvin Feld of Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus. By the way, Feld Entertainment. I did some business with them. Moons ago. I'm just going to say that.
It.
Just going to leave it there. And then the other reason that I had to share history is this, which is just lights out fantastic. Today is Emma M. Nutt Day.
Is it?
Emma M. Nutt is observed on September 1st as dedicated to the first female telephone operator. Furthermore, this day honors the important work of the traditionally essential job of telephone people. 1878, Emma M. Nutt started working for the Boston Telephone Dispatch Company and continued doing so for 33 years. That's where it all came down when you, if you watched Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. It was the gal that did that. One ringy dingy, two ringy dingy. Okay, that's where that all comes from. Yeah, I know it's not useful knowledge, but it's funny, and we're going into the weekend. This, however, my friends, is useful knowledge. I'll set up the trivia one more time, and then I'm just going right down into the heart of this. So the trivia question, what was the sacrifice for sin also called? Was it called the peace offering, the meal offering, or the atonement offering? Your answer is in Leviticus 9:7. The text we're going to be looking at is a backwards text. In other words, we're going backwards. Because I told you about this before, and I only got one part of it in. We're going back to Matthew 11. So we're kind of going backwards, but just follow this. This is amazing. We'll use a different translation. Use your translation. Don't be afraid of that. That's fine. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light." Oh, goodness. So I want to use some scholars who do a much better job than I could ever do, right? From "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, I am gentle and lowly in heart." This is a New King James Version. "And you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." A yoke is a heavy wooden harness that fits over the shoulders of ox or oxen. It is attached to a piece of equipment that the oxen are to pull. Since Jesus was a carpenter, and since carpenters in those days produced and repaired farm equipment, Jesus was quite familiar with the yoke. So he's speaking of something, obviously, not just that he knows about because of who he is, but the same profession he is as a carpenter. And he's telling people about this. And listen to some of these comments. Just bear with me. This is a comment from F.B. Meyer, who says this: "Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. While those wise and learned in their own eyes are blinded to the truth," which was about four verses earlier, "Jesus invites those who labor and are heavy laden. The wise and the learned Pharisees had placed so many rules and regulations on people that religion had become like labor, and a life of devotion to the law became a burden to carry. Jesus' gracious invitation extends to all. No one is omitted or neglected. All we must do is acknowledge our need and come to him." So what he's talking about is, when Jesus is talking about the yoke, he's talking about a legalism of oppression that had risen up, because instead of thinking of the word or thinking of the law as this purpose to get us somewhere, the law became the god for the Pharisees. And Jesus is like, okay, the yoke they're putting on you, the burden they're dropping on you, it's ridiculous. That's not the right one. The Pharisees had made the observation of the law all about the legalism, which is why they couldn't understand when Jesus would fulfill the law or when something great came. You know, they couldn't handle it. Don't be so Christianized. Don't be so legalistic that you miss this. You may have some things that the Lord has called you to be disciplined in. But that doesn't mean he's called everybody else to be disciplined the exact same way. And what the Lord has given you fits you perfectly, but it might not fit the person next to you perfectly. So don't put your burden that Jesus has given you on someone else because it fits for you perfectly. In your relationship, the Lord may say or may require, I really expect you, Dave, to spend X amount of time with me. But I encourage people to spend time with the Lord, but I don't put that time number on other people because that's not what the Lord gave them. And that's why we never say that. We say, just spend some time, spend some time, spend some time. And what I'm trying to say to you is Jesus gave us a perfectly connecting burden in him. And it fits each one of us absolutely perfectly. It's not heavy. It's not hard. It's not oppressive. Because we do it in partnership with him, and we don't do it on our own. Now listen to this. Oh, this is just way, way better than me. This is Bruce Barton, who's another scholar. Jesus said, learn from me. Jesus, their leader and example, was also the ultimate servant, gentle and lowly in heart. His path of humble service is a pattern for us to follow. So much of our fatigue and burdensome toil stems from pride. If we are successful, our egos are inflated, and we try for more. If we falter, the rejection of others and our self-condemnation weigh us down in guilt and in self-doubt. It's much more freeing to take Christ's attitude of serving one another than to put something on yourself or others. Now listen to this next comment. These are all scholars, right? It's just like, oh, these guys are just, you read this and you just go, yeah. Yeah, I'll never be that good. Listen how good this one is. Responsibility weighs us down, even the job of staying true to God. It's a tough grind, and you're tired. You may be trying hard and still falling short of the mark. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. He doesn't offer you a lawn chair and a soda. The yoke is still an oxen's tool for working hard. But it's a special kind of yoke with weight falling on bigger shoulders than yours. Someone with more pulling power is up front helping. Oh, my goodness, that is just brilliant. Suddenly, you're sharing life's responsibilities with a great partner, capital partner. And now that frown is turning into a smile and that gripe is turning into a song. In other words, the whole premise of this scholar's element is the yoke that is given to us by Christ is a larger yoke for us to carry because he's already carrying part of that yoke. And you're just in partnership with him doing it. And he's already carrying the bulk of it. And you're, it's not like you don't go work at it, but he's carrying the load for you. So your portion is light compared to whatever the people are trying to drop on them, on you. Wait, or compared to what you're trying to drop on yourself. You just look at that and go, well, number one, at least we know why they're scholars. Just say that, right? You could just look at that and go, wow. Do you get what he's saying? It's just like, look, this yoke that Jesus is talking about, it's a special yoke. It's a two-headed yoke. He's got one part of it. You got the other. Guess who's carrying more? He is. But he designed it that way so that you'll come along and that your portion's lighter, but you do it in partnership with Jesus. In other words, instead of doing it and being a grind, you do it and find it to be a joy. It's just like, see, I read something like that, and I go, I want to be a Christian too. You know, it's just like, that's just brilliant, right? What you're trying to, you know, there's about striving. There's a Keith Green song that I heard on the way in today. It was the first time God ever spoke to me. It was actually during this song while it was playing. My son, why are you striving? It's like, I'm always trying to make it happen, make it do this, and it's like, he's like, he, and the rest of the song goes, you can't add one thing that's been done for you. I did it all while I was dying. Rest in your faith. My peace will come to you. It's just like, and that's the first time the Lord ever said, you can't merit my love. You're not going to earn it. You're not going to deserve it. You can't drop that on yourself. You can't be Mr. or Mrs. Super Spiritual all the time. It doesn't work. Let Jesus carry that load. You take your little part in there. It's not nearly as heavy. It's got nothing to do with legalism. It's got nothing to do with law. It's got nothing to do with any of that stuff. It's just the perfectly designed yoke for you because Jesus is the one that created yours. And he's helping you go through the process. You don't do any of this Christian stuff without Jesus. Period. Stop trying to be a Christian apart from Christ. That doesn't work. How's that? Is that just like, it's just amazing stuff. I tell you, there'll be these guys, but I read these guys like ferociously, right? And I borrow their stuff from time to time.
That's like me and my commentary, Dave.
Yeah. So you just look at that and go, yes. I want to be in the room when they wrote it. So I can go, how did you get that? You know, that's what I'm going to do. All right. Back to the trivia question. Sorry, folks. I just get off on I think that stuff's the coolest stuff in the world because these people are deeply connected and just so devout to the Lord. It's just like, oh, it's just beautiful. All right. Sacrifice of sin is called what? Is it the peace offering, the meal offering, or the atonement offering? It is the atonement offering. That's why we have the Day of Atonement, or in Hebrew called Yom Kippur, right? That's Day of Atonement. What's the big thing about Day of Atonement? It's the day that they dealt with sin. Well, how many days a year did that happen? One day a year. Because the high priest went into the presence of God. The only time we went into the presence of God that way to deal with sin, only we, because of Jesus Christ being our high priest, get to deal with everything every single day, 365, 24/7. That's a lot cooler. So I got a problem. I can go, knock, knock, I'm here, which I think the Lord knows I
need a little help over here.
Yeah, need a little help over here. Okay. All right. Help a brother out. Anyway, all right, we're going to take our break, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 96.5-hour break, and then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spinanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.